from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and welcome into our broadcast today, this weekend edition of Life Change. And boy, we have a topic today that is going to be exciting. You want to hear every minute of it. We're talking about artificial intelligence, and there's a lot brewing around us today in the area of theology and law and doing papers at school, plagiarism, those kind of topics. And we're going to be talking about that today. A Life Change comes to you from the ministry, Dino Padrone Ministry, here in South Florida. And Monday through Friday, we have Bible studies. And on Saturday, we always have guests in. We have kind of a team that we put together now of regular people coming in. And one of those gentlemen is a dear friend of mine, Homer McMillan. Homer is a pastor of a local church, and he is also an attorney at law. And he's well-read and well-versed in these kind of subjects. And first of all, Homer, how are you doing? And welcome to the program today.
I am well, and thank you for having me again, Dr. Padrone. I'm always amazed if someone comes to hear me speak the first time. I'm pleased if they come back the second time. I marvel. So to have me again, I marvel. Thank you.
Well, there'll be a lot of marveling if the Lord doesn't come and you and I stay well. Now, artificial intelligence, let's get at it here a little bit. That's a challenging thought when it first came out. It put an antenna up, I know, in my mind. Tell us about artificial intelligence and exactly what is it? Do you see here, Mac?
Artificial intelligence is the goal of the technological computer world. And it began in the 1950s. And let me just say right off that some of the information that I'm sharing here is information that's drawn from a written source that I want to credit. That source is the Cambridge Companion to Religion and Artificial Intelligence. And that is written by Marius Dorobantu. So with proper credit given, the author points out in her introductory comments that the artificial intelligence has been the goal of the computer world since the 1950s. And the goal is to build a thinking machine that can generate output outside of the input that it has received. Computers can only give as much as they get. But what we're trying to do, what the technological cutting edge of today is, to try to get that computer to think on its own. That's artificial intelligence.
That's well defined. Now, is Marius with Cambridge? Is this, are we speaking of Cambridge in England, or is that another organization?
It's Cambridge in England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I've been to Cambridge. It's a beautiful place, and many scholars that are there. My brother, one of the first computer programmers in America. He remember the big computer in Belgium. He was one of the fellows that worked on that. Of course, back in those days, there were those who called that the beast, and some believed they had some connection to the Antichrist, which of course was not true. But I remember him explaining some of this to me way back in those days, and it was really new to me then. I kind of recommended to my older brother, maybe you ought to find another job. I'm not sure this is going to work or not. But what an amazing world we live in today. And what you just said to us, I think even makes it more amazing. So how is this going to affect us?
Well, it's impacting us every day. You have undoubtedly spoken with someone who has had a conversation about a particular product and had their telephone shortly thereafter advertise that product for their purchase. That is likely a AI-driven conversation that allows the machine to discern what you've said. There are ways you can prevent that, of course. I'm not an expert in technology. I pay my son to give me advice in reference to security and those kinds of things for our law practice or for my portion of it. But it's a fascinating journey. And in law, if I may, artificial intelligence is creating great opportunities and is creating problems. Attorneys in Florida have been sanctioned for creating documents, pleadings, briefs for the court using artificial intelligence, and that artificial intelligence created ghost citations to cases that don't exist. They filed that with the court, and they were ultimately rebuked by the Florida bar, if I'm not mistaken. But certainly, as an attorney, what I do, rather than going to a generic AI such as ChatGPT or some other generic artificial intelligence, I have a system that is totally confined to the legal world. I draft documents with artificial intelligence on almost a daily basis, and I do it in a context where it can't cite something that doesn't exist because it doesn't have that information. But it's fascinating. People are practicing law pro se on their own using artificial intelligence. Now, as an attorney, I have a dog in the hunt when I say that's not necessarily the best way to go. And one of the reasons is these ghost citations that appear inaccurate information that can be had from artificial intelligence. But what's really fascinating to me, Dr. Padron, is its impact on theology.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I was thinking as you're talking there, and as you know, I was 11 years president of a Bible college in the Northeast, and I always had our academic dean talking to me about the concerns with plagiarism. I guess AI could enter into that discussion as well. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. I was an instructional mentor and assistant professor with Liberty University in the Helm School of Government for about 7+ years. And AI cuts both directions. Not only do you have students that are using it to generate papers, which is plagiarism, it breaks the rules of academia, but you have professors that can monitor the papers that come in with, guess what, artificial intelligence. And you can detect plagiarism in some interesting ways. Now, I'm a little bit out of the loop there. I haven't taught at Liberty for about 5 years. I became ill for a period of time and had to leave that ministry. But absolutely, and to anyone listening to my voice in academia, if you have goals beyond an academic career or your academic career is that you want to teach, a plagiarism violation that is documented and certified and found to be, you're found to be guilty of plagiarism, it has such broad-ranging impacts. For instance, application to become an attorney to the Florida bar. If you've ever committed plagiarism, you have to report that in the character application process, character and fitness application process. And you're going to be sitting down in front of a live committee instead of getting an approval on paperwork to become an attorney if you plagiarize.
Boy.
It's devastating in its impact.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that as well. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. It's a fascinating topic today. This is Dino Pedrone chatting with you. And my good friend Homer McMillan is with us, attorney at law, as well as pastor of a local church. And we're talking today about AI. I do want to remind all of you who have been sending funds in for our pastors in Myanmar, continue to do so. It's a tremendous opportunity to help people that really need it. I have before me here a correspondence from our key contact over there, Dr. Pastor Mun, and the question was asked to him about the civil war, and here's what he writes. The war is intense in some parts of Myanmar, but is not as intense in Kalamayo, which is where he's at the moment, but some villagers do not dare go back to their homes, and that's a very serious situation. We asked about their family physically and financially. He said, we are physically good, but to be honest, it's very difficult to live at this time. The price of everything soars up each day. This also affects my ministry in many ways. And so those of you that give, I want to thank you for giving. And many of you give monthly. A one-time gift is a blessing as well. We are very thankful to you. And please make your tax-deductible gift to our webpage, if you would. And we'll be glad to have you donate there. Or if you want to send it in snail mail, which is the good old-fashioned way to do it, is Dino Pedrone Ministries. It's my name, Dino Pedrone, D-I-N-O-P-E-D-R-O-N-E, Ministries, 433 Plaza Real Suite 275. That's 433 Plaza Real Suite 275, Boca Raton, Florida, 33432. We'll give that address to you again. And thank you again for your help with that. You mentioned law, and you also mentioned theology, which is very close to my heart. All these years of my life, my adult life, I've been a student and a preacher and a teacher of the Word of God, and I love theology. But you mentioned theology. That gets close to my heart. Tell us about AI in relationship to theology.
Well, it's in preparation for our discussion, I couldn't resist buying the book I mentioned earlier, and Cambridge Companion to Religion and Artificial Intelligence. And the chapter I really drilled into a little bit is the one entitled Artificial Intelligence and Christianity, Friend or Foes. And I mentioned earlier the quandary of the emergence of artificial intelligence. And the author points out that there are implications for Christian theology. For instance, could intelligent machines become authentic selves? I've mentioned that. If so, could they also partake in the image of God? Could machines be like us? Could they have intellect, emotion, and will? Could the Christian imagery envision a future where robots develop their own religiosity? I had to teach my dictionary this word, robo-theologies. Hmm. And, you know, there's a cautionary tale there, Dr. Pedrone. Mm-hmm. And that is our hearers need to be anchored in the Word of God, mm-hmm. as opposed to what some technology may drive. And, you know, there are aberrant teachings driven by AI, innumerable aberrant teachings about the Bible driven by AI. So it's an interesting question. By the way, I just have to say this. I want a robot. I want it for my home. I'm looking forward to having a robot. And I love science fiction. And I want to tell you this, Brother Pedrone, I'm absolutely convinced that the original series Star Trek really will happen, and there will be Baptists out there somewhere.
Oh, that's a great thought. That's really a great thought. But let's pastors that listen to this program. And have you gotten far enough along to answer the question, where does AI fit in their study? What do they need to be careful about? What I've studied through the years, I pretty much have a pattern of study, what days I study, how much I study, what books I use, where I'd go to find my research. And frankly, it doesn't include anything of AI much right now. But where does this going to fit in the future? What do you, is there advice you have right now to a pastor who's preparing a sermon? His sermon needs to come from God, and he's come from the Holy Spirit. But obviously, a well-prepared pastor is going to do research and study before he presents the Word of God. So what do you recommend with AI to a pastor right now?
Yes, sir. I think that AI is a neutral tool. It can be good, used for good or ill. We hear about it being used for ill, perhaps more, because that's what generates ratings on television and radio. But AI is a great tool. Now, what a pastor needs to be careful about is not substituting study with inquiry to ChatGPT. I was mentored by a graduate of Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Gene Geiger, he taught me to be grounded in the scriptures when I study. I never will forget the first message he heard me preach, and he took me to breakfast the next day, and he said, "Son, if you're going to preach on a text, it might be a good idea to look up the words in a dictionary before you preach the text." Mm-hmm. And he taught me how to do that. And one of the things he did is he said, once you are grounded in the text, you need to read after sound commentaries mm-hmm. and sound commentators. Well, you can go to ChatGPT and type in an inquiry asking it to give you an overview of the Gospel of John from a conservative evangelical viewpoint. And guess what? It'll do it. Mm-hmm. And that can help someone in their studies. Mm-hmm. What you don't want to do is then cut and paste that information into your sermon and read it to your church that Sunday. If I use artificial intelligence, and I've probably used it twice in sermon preparation, I cite it. Mm-hmm. I tell folks, now this is generated by AI, I'm quoting here. If I quote someone else, another pastor, another author, I'm going to cite them when I preach. I'm going to say this is someone else's thought. That's only the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. I think what you just said there as well is helpful to all pastors who are listening in as to what to do. Your friend that suggested to you, what do these words mean? I just had a young man that I've been mentoring for years, I guess 2 days ago on the phone, and I told him to get a book that I've used a lot in my study. I'm sitting around my study right now looking at it. It is the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. And in the Greek language, there were many meanings for various words. And I think that's a huge book of value to find out what the word actually meant in that day and how it's applied to today. I think that increases the enrichment of preaching. And I would suggest, as you have already, that it's very important to stay with that kind of study and don't detract from that. I remember I'm on a board here, and I think we had 12 members of the board, and nobody was good at taking the minutes, and obviously you got to have the minutes. And so we brought an AI situation in there, and AI captures everything, and then you have to go through and redo it, but that's a huge help. But I think in preaching, we need to make sure we go to good resources and be careful. And I like what you say there. I kind of look at wisdom and comfort as in being careful with these type of things. What else can you tell us with AI and theology?
Well, another issue that's raised in the material I reviewed is when you adopt a theological, anthropological point of view, you start applying theology to man, you start considering what do our fascination with AI and our deep desire to create an intelligence other than ourselves reveal about human nature? I think that's a critical question. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know it is, because what AI is doing is attempting, the drive behind AI is to create a literally independently thinking artificial intelligence, and some people even think perhaps create a god. It is the drive of humanity to fill what someone, and the name escapes me, I should cite it, but someone called the God-shaped vacuum in our heart. And that's what the drive to create another intelligence is, just trying to fix what's wrong. And Dr. Bedron, you know what's wrong. The issue is a sin problem, and it can't be fixed by technology. It can't be fixed by politics. It can't be fixed by even religion. Only a relationship. Mm-hmm. Only Jesus Christ can fix that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, that's hitting the nail on the head, my dear friend. We do need to realize the importance of the gospel and what that means. I taught a Bible class just the other night with a group of people, and I said the gospel, it's the bottom line, and they all agreed. It's so true. Again, I want to remind you, you're listening into Life Change Today. Thank you for listening into our program, and we are talking today about a very important topic, artificial intelligence, and I think down the road in one of our programs again, I would suggest, Mac, maybe we put something else, maybe more of an update on this, new things. Give the name of that book, by the way, that you've been mentioning.
Yes, sir. That is artificial. It is the Cambridge Companion to Religion and Artificial Intelligence, and that's Cambridge University Press. The author is Doro Bantu. It is edited by Sengler and Watts. And it's a compilation of different articles, obviously, Islam and artificial intelligence, Judaism, artificial intelligence. It's well worth the $30 I paid. I'm going to have fun with this one.
Yeah, I would recommend. And how do you spell the author's last name?
That is Doro, B like boy, A-N like Nancy, T like Tom, U. So Doro Bantu.
Yeah, that sounds like a fascinating book, and I think you made another sale with me.
I'm not getting a commission, so.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's
it. By the way, Dee and I will do something for the pastors in Myanmar.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, dear brother. I appreciate that. These are, it's a heavy burden. I've been there, spoken to their national convention. It was wonderful. And just after that, COVID hit, and then all of this stuff with the civil war. So thank you so much for that. Again, we're talking here about Myanmar and the importance of helping the dear friends there. The Pastor Mon goes on and says, by the grace and protection of God, his children, young people in Syria are safe. However, many of the young people now are leaving and going into Thailand. And so pray much for his ministry there. And send a gift in to our ministry. We would appreciate it. You can simply go to our webpage, Bedron Ministry College. That's my last name, P-E-D-R-O-N-E, Bedron Ministry College, and donate there. Or you can go to Dina Bedron Ministries, and that's 433 Plaza Real Suite, Plaza Real Suite. 275 Boca Raton, Florida, 33432. That's Dina Bedron Ministries, 433 Plaza Real Suite, 275 Boca Raton, Florida, 33432. This has been a fascinating topic. It seems like it went by in 5 minutes. And my dear friend, we're looking forward to having you on next time you'll be on. This is a fascinating topic today. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget our studies Monday through Friday. Life Change Today here on all of these stations. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. That's DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.